Thanks so much for joining us today on WPR News. Larry Mueller here. Well, the Food and Drug Administration is urging the food industry to stop adding artificial colors to their products on grocery store shelves. And while companies are not required to do it right now, some phasing out of artificial dyes and is there and certainly front and center in a lot of people's minds. And a lot of people are looking forward, looking to natural alternatives. And as it happens, researchers at UW-Madison have patented a method for extracting natural pigments for cranberries, beets, and other crops grown. We grow quite a lot of here in Wisconsin. I guess Brad Bowling, a professor in the UW-Madison Department of Food Science, our guest, and has obviously been working on this area. And I hope you'll join in. Do you have concerns about artificial colors added to so much of our food? Maybe you wonder if natural pigments could be healthier and more sustainable. We'll look at some research on that. Give us a call, the number 800-642-1234, or you could email us to talk@wpr.org. Bradley, thank you for joining us.
Pleased to be here, Larry.
The Food and Drug Administration, as I said, they're encouraging, but they're not requiring the food industry to remove artificial coloring from their products. Do artificial food colorings pose a health problem?
Yeah, I think that's a question that is complicated. So
yeah,
there's a concern about the direct toxicity of some of the colors, whether if we consume these at certain levels that are maybe too high, that our bodies could have some toxicity to them. There's known interactions for some people who are hypersensitive to yellow number 5, which has been a concern for a while. And there has been a concern about hyperactivity in children from a study in Europe. So this level of evidence has given regulators pause to think about, you know, are these dyes necessary, given the known potential for health risks. The position of the FDA has been these are safe in the levels that we use. They're tested extensively. So whatever risk there may be, you know, these are well labeled to individuals with hypersensitivity. But now the tide has changed on that assessment.
Yeah. And Europe has banned them, has it not or not?
Europe is interesting. So they have the opportunities to use synthetic colors as well, okay, but they must bear a warning label. Certain synthetic colors must bear a warning label that they may cause hyperactivity in children. And they actually have some different synthetic colors that are allowed that we don't allow here. The regulations are quite complex. An example of this is we don't have the ability to use a black food color. In Europe, they can use vegetable carbon, but that's not allowed in the U.S. just because we have actually quite a strict and conservative method for regulating color additives in the U.S. until quite recently.
Until quite recently. Mm-hmm. Well, some large companies have pledged to phase out artificial dyes, some even by 2027, next year. How might that increase interest in your research into extracting natural food coloring?
Yeah. I mean, all of a sudden we see the demand for natural colors increasing, not only new sources, but new plants. So there have been algae and potatoes and other types of crops that have been used for natural colors that are now allowable that haven't been in the past. And I think the FDA is fast-tracking these new types of pigments. And this is great for our process. We got into this area curious about cranberries and how pigments are stable in cranberries, which led us to this patent for sustainable extraction from cranberry juice.
And I want to talk about that with you. Just to mention on the companies, I think it's Campbell's, Zoot Company, and Nestle will stop using artificial dyes, I think, this year, mm-hmm. or maybe next.
Yeah, many food companies have pledged to eliminate this, and they are in the process of making plans or already offering some alternatives.
Even Coca-Cola, which would be a huge, I mean, how big is Coca-Cola?
Yeah, very large company with many different products in their portfolio.
Yeah, sure. ConAgra, Kraft, Heinz. So lots of work being done by the companies, at least. Well, so natural, is it necessarily healthier? Or?
That's a good question. So the pigments that are in natural colors do have health benefits. So we know from human intervention studies, animal studies, cell-based studies, that many of the compounds that are in natural colors can reduce inflammation, lower cholesterol. The issue with using them as colors is typically the levels that we put these into products may not be as much as we would be getting from a serving of fruits or vegetables. And, you know, we're selecting some of the colors or very specific molecules, so we're not getting the whole benefits of the fruit. So they may be providing some of these, what we call bioactive compounds, that can help improve health, but it's still, in the end, better to eat a blue, you know, serving of blueberries or apples or cranberries.
Yeah, but then you look at the artificial, if I'm not mistaken, the artificial dyes have significantly more sugar, I think, isn't it?
That's correct. And it's a good point that many of the foods that use artificial pigments will have added sugars in them, and that we know we're consuming too much added sugar in the diet, and it's good to reduce our consumption of that. So I think that's another good point about the healthfulness of food colors. It may not be directly related to their toxicity, but it may be the types of foods and not having the appropriate balance of those foods in our diet.
Yeah, and now that I'm thinking of it, not only sugar, but I think sodium and saturated fat.
Yeah, and lower fiber typically as well. That's something that we don't consume enough of in our diets usually.
Well, let's talk about the patent that you patented a process to extract natural pigments from cranberries. Well, let's talk about cranberries first. I mean, we're number one when it comes to cranberry production, are we not?
Yeah, that's right. Wisconsin has an incredible number of cranberry farms and is the nationwide leader in production.
And how has the industry responded to your patent before we talk about the process itself?
Yeah, they're very excited about it. We've been communicating with growers about the technology. Earlier this year, the cranberry growers held a meeting, and we were able to talk with them about the implications of this and the type of products that we might be able to use this type of color in.
So what are the kinds of, it's going to be red, I assume.
Yeah, from cranberries. but you know, there are other colors of cranberries as well. Some of the varieties we see are orange or, I'd say there could be potential to expand the color palette there.
So how does your process to extract natural pigments from cranberries, how does it work?
So it's actually very simple. We have cranberry juice, and we add a component of soybean or sunflower seed called lecithin. And this is an ingredient that you can find that's used as an emulsifier in some foods. We just add that to the juice, and we see that it immediately takes the color from the juice and creates an insoluble residue. that insoluble residue, kind of what you would see maybe at the bottom of a natural juice, contains most of those pigments and the tannins in cranberry. We can then remove the water by centrifuging this or isolating that bottom, that layer, and then drying it. And so in the end, we have a red powder that's the same color as the cranberries.
Which are pretty darn red.
Yeah, yeah.
So does it work? How does it work when you add it to the food?
Yeah. One of the early studies that we did was to add this to gummy vitamins or these, gummy fruits. And we saw that work there. Another study that we did was to put this into chewing gum. And the idea is when we add the cranberry to the chewing gum, we may have some benefit for our health because we're including the tannins in cranberry that are antimicrobial. And we all know, or many of you have probably heard, that cranberries are good for preventing urinary tract infections. Yeah. And that's because of their antimicrobial and antipathogenic molecules in there called the tannins. And we can, our process extracts the pigment and the tannin. So when we put that into chewing gum, that may help our oral health by reducing the bacteria that cause cavities or inflammation.
It gets pretty cool. We'll talk some more about that with our guest, Brad Bowling, professor in the UW-Madison Department of Food Science. So what do you think about artificial colorings versus the natural type? If you had any experiences or questions about it, I hope you'll join in. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. You can email us, the email address, talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Talking with Professor Bradley Bowling. Brad is with the UW-Madison Department of Food Science and has patented a process for using colors from cranberries and other fruits or vegetables, perhaps, as well. In fact, I'm sure there are some vegetables involved in that, too. And if you have a thought or question, I hope you'll join in. Again, the number 800-642-1234, email to talk@WPR.org. As somebody who chews gum, I don't really much care what the color is. But color might play a role for chewing gum, I guess.
When we were initially talking to people about this project, that one of the concerns they had with berries or other fruits is the staining that you can get on the mouth. And the chewing gum that contains this type of pigment actually doesn't stain your teeth or your mouth, which was a good result of the study that we did.
So, and in terms of buying it, somebody buys it, but I'm wondering about other food products. I mean, Captain Crunch or something like, a cereal or perhaps something where you want to, maybe they want to have the color pretty close to what they've had with the other.
Yeah. There are some inherent challenges to using natural colors in these different types of products. One, for the types of pigments that come from cranberry, the pH or the acidity of a food will make a difference. And the types of food that are conducive to using these natural colors will be ones that are more similar to the pH of fruit, because that's just where these compounds are stable. If not, they may turn purplish or eventually break down. So we are still working on the processes to understand if these can be stable at a variety of conditions. One major product that we're interested in is ice cream, and using this type of base in ice cream. We just need to conduct further research to see how it reacts in these types of foods.
And over a period of time, yeah.
Right, yes.
Joe in Wisconsin Rapids has a question. Let's go there. Hi, Joe.
Hi, I live over where there's a lot of cranberry farms, and I'm a winemaker. I use cranberries to tint my rhubarb wine and call it Red Zin. I don't think I pick up a flavor, but the wine's different, definitely different. And my question is if the cranberry pigment imparts a flavor or has a flavor profile that can improve or change whatever you're adding it to.
Yeah, excellent question. In the process that we developed, it did not seem to retain the cranberry fruity flavor because the pigments themselves are either neutral tasting or slightly tannic, so they cause some astringency. But our process using the lecithin tends to make this less astringent. So I would say maybe the types of flavors you would get is more a little bit of a puckering sensation.
Yeah. And Joe, you could send a bottle down here for us to sample, and we can be the judge of whether what it's doing for you. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Oh, man. You know, what are the downsides? I mean, to me, the first thing I think about, all right, we produced a heck of a lot of cranberries here, but if this becomes a huge business, which would be great if it does, are we going to have enough? Is there going to be enough supply? Maybe it'll work for cranberries, but maybe not for something else like beets, because I know beets is in the conversation mm-hmm. too.
Yeah, I think understanding the scale and the industry demand is something that we have to balance. And we're working with a commercial partner to understand just how to produce this at a larger scale. So we have the ability to put this into the lab right now, but when you're talking about pounds, kilograms, tons of this, it's a much different operation.
Yeah, that'd be, I mean, how much, what, I suppose you don't know this. I'm trying to figure out how many cranberries you'd need to produce a pack of gum.
Yeah.
a pound of cranberries or what? I have no idea.
We'll get back and run that calculation. But a little bit of pigment can go a long way.
Okay.
I think what we see from this product is that it hangs on to the color pretty well. And so you don't have to worry about it dissolving into the water or maybe losing it that way.
You're talking about companies and scaling up and so forth. There is a company in Wisconsin Rapids called Arise Nutrition, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And talk about that company, what you're coordinating with them a bit.
Yeah. We're very happy to be partnering with Arise Nutrition. So we work together on submitting a grant to the USDA for technology development, and they're the commercial partner that's helping us take this from the lab to pilot scale and then to commercial scale as well. And they have the things that we don't have in our department, the large scale dryers, the ability to bring in fruit and make the connections to be able to offer products with this.
Yeah. So are they going to work with cranberries or a broader range?
Yeah, I think we do see this going. You know, cranberry is a very important part of this, but there are other potential products that could be made. You mentioned vegetables before, so
yeah.
Carrots. You can grow red, purple, orange carrots. We're going to be working to test that out. Basically, any juice that has color in it, that has this type of pigment that's water soluble, we can capture with this method.
So lots of and for Arise Nutrition, they're scaling this up. I mean, when is that going to be happening?
We hope this year. That's the goal by September, is to have a larger piloted scale production of these and then demonstrate these in products. So We'll get to put it into the cereals, the ice creams, the bars, the sauces, and really test to see how this works.
I'm wondering if the color, this is probably going to be, this is marketing, I'm assuming, but if the color of the whatever it is, Captain Crunch or whatever it might be, is not exactly the same as the color of the artificial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very hard to replicate the exact color of the synthetic dyes. They're just so
brilliant.
And we, as consumers, have expectations for how things look. So we're, you know, right after Valentine's Day, you know, some of the traditional red colors that we would see on hearts or, you know, Bucky Badger, these, we can't exactly replicate that same type of pigment with a natural color, just because they're fundamentally different types of molecules. So I think that's going to be the part as we see consumers phase out or companies phase out the production of these synthetic colors. Over time, we're just going to need to adjust our expectations for how foods look and, you know, be happy to see a color that looks like cranberry.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm thinking, I mean, the polling, I guess you could say, or the consumer questioning shows that there are a lot of consumers that would like to get rid of the artificial.
Yeah, and this has been a change because about a decade or so ago, there was a natural colored versions of Trix cereal, one of these highly colored cereal. They put this out, and then people just didn't buy it because it didn't look quite the same. And now we're going back to that. So maybe that product was a little bit ahead of its time. But yeah, I think it's good that consumer demand is matching what the industry is doing now.
Yeah, which makes it good for you. And Judy in Fitchburg sent us an email. It's great that you have a patent on the pigment extracting process, and she hopes it leads to more food industry adoption of natural food colors. But can you tell us how the patenting process works for UW's benefit? Judy understands all patents go through WARF, Wisconsin Alumni Research Foundation. Mm-hmm. Will WARF get income anytime a food industry uses a product that comes from your patent?
Yeah, a very, very good question. And this is something I also had to learn going through the research process. And yes, WARF is the technology transfer arm of the University of Wisconsin. So it stands for the Wisconsin Alumni Research Foundation. And they help researchers like me take our research and patent it. So they helped us with the patenting process. The patent is in the name of WARF. I'm one of the inventors on this, but WARF handles the licensing, and they're working closely with the partners who wish to commercialize this. And yeah, that would be part of the structure of these contracts when companies use this technology is that WARF would receive a portion of those funds back.
And then some would go to the UW directly at WARF, of course, funds.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
A lot of research here.
Yeah, yeah. It's one of the great things about WARF is they can reinvest money into technologies, help improve facilities on campus. It's a really great structure that we have, and really WARF is a world leader in this. And their initial investments, even before we had the patent, really allowed us to get the data to get the patent for this type of product. So it's been very helpful for us.
And warfarin.
Yeah, exactly.
Warfarin's a good example of a product that has returned a lot of money to the UW-Madison and research for future research. It's an amazing process. And I did know 10 states, Arizona, Utah included, I believe, passed laws in 2025, banning the use of food additives, mainly in school lunches, with some starting to take effect this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the states are moving faster in a sense on changing the requirements for the food supply. So I think no matter from the state or the federal level, I think food companies are looking at what they can do differently for replacing these synthetic colors.
Which sounds good from your ears, I bet.
Right.
He's nodding in agreement. Brad Bowling, thank you so much. Brad Bowling, professor in the UW-Madison Department of Food Science. Really fun to learn about the great research going on here regarding these natural food colorings. So there you go. And thanks to you for listening. This and all of our shows are a team effort. We have Clara Neipert and Joel Patnaud on our team, and Lee Rayburn and Jeff Robbins, and our executive producer and kind of boss is Jill Nadeau. I'm Larry Mueller, and thank you so much for listening. But please stay with us as well. Lots more in store here on WPR News.